Hi, this is Clint Evans, one of the host committee of the Linked Intelligence Virtual Summit, best-selling author. I've also taught some workshops and have an entrepreneur column at entrepreneur.com. My special guest here today is Josh Turner. How are you doing today, Josh?
Hey, Clint. I'm doing well, man. Thank you.
Yeah, great to be with you. And to give you just a brief bit about Josh Turner, he is the founder of Linked University and Linked Selling and a Wall Street Journal best-selling author. So Josh, as we get into this today, give me in just one or two quick minutes a background of what you've done that's led you to this point in your business career.
Only one or two? I mean, don't I get like 20 minutes to talk? No, I'm just
accolades from birth.
Yeah, we should just give our full backstory, right? But I started the company in 2011. Prior to that, I had left the corporate world, went on my own in 2010, and I had dabbled in a few different things for the first year. And one of the ways I was growing business, I was generating business for myself, was using LinkedIn. And I never had an intention of starting a business that helped other businesses generate leads and appointments. I was a CFO in a former life. I just kind of stumbled into it. I ended up having a couple clients who I was helping with finance consulting, who said, hey, Josh, I see this stuff that you're doing on LinkedIn. Do you think that could work for us? I told them, how I thought it could. And they kind of looked at me with deer in the headlights and said, well, how about you just do that for us? And I, like I said, at the time I was dabbling in a few different things. So I thought, why not give that a shot and see how that works out? And it worked out really, really well for them. And I realized that I had, unknowingly kind of developed a system for myself that could be replicated in a lot of other businesses. And I think the reason it's been successful is because we approach what we do from a standpoint of really, really good understanding of behavioral psychology and what makes people tick. We're not a tool first kind of a company. Like LinkedIn as a tool, that we love LinkedIn, but it's really not about LinkedIn. It's about a philosophy for how to position yourself as a leader in your industry, and then how to really leverage that to generate really high quality leads and appointments with people that feel like they know, like, and trust you. So what we do in a lot of senses is platform agnostic. We teach people how to do it on LinkedIn, Facebook, email. And over the last few years, the company's just really taken off. We have the agency side of the company for businesses that hire us to implement these kinds of campaigns for them. We have training programs for people that want to learn how to do it themselves and teams and such. We have some other offerings on the back end and such. And we were recently named number 252 on the Inc. 500, which we were really excited about. Yeah. Just growing like wildfire over here. Thanks, buddy. And, expecting, to be on that list again next year. So it's been really great to see the business grow over these last few years. Our team has just, obviously been such a massive part of that success. And we're just excited about being able to, spread the message about the work we do and serve a lot of really awesome businesses.
Yeah, fantastic. And I know as we get into this a little bit, there's a lot of misconceptions and lack of understanding in the small business community around LinkedIn. A lot of people still just like think of it as a resume, and they don't harness the power of it. So I know there was obviously you started out getting some clients, you had people ask you, and you got some validation with the first two or three companies, but before even that, why did you, when you were a CEO or CFO and separated, why did you decide, hey, I'm going to go see if I can figure out this LinkedIn thing because I think I might be able to get clients from there?
Because it was the only place that I could go identify my clients and that they would be open to connect with me, and a platform where they would engage with me, online. I was trying to get to more people. I wasn't getting to the right people going to the networking events. I wasn't getting to the business owners that I was trying to reach, going and having coffees and lunches with people. It just wasn't happening fast enough for me. And so I just started taking my, destiny into my own hands, or whatever you want to call it, and going out and proactively doing it. And that's why, for me, LinkedIn is such a powerful, powerful tool, because you can use it to go find the exact type of person that you want to do business with. And then it's just a numbers game and a matter of coming up with a good strategy for getting in front of them. You know, they're sitting there. If you say the right things, they're going to be open to your approaches. And that's a lot of the fun of it too. Like, I just really love that, like, crafting campaigns and coming up with messaging strategies and positioning strategies to use a tool like LinkedIn or any other online tool for that example, and to take somebody that you've identified as someone you'd like to do business with that has no idea who you are and work them through a process where within a relatively short period of time, they you know, grow to know, like, and trust you and are open to getting on the phone and talking business. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, because I know you guys sometimes, what, within 14, 21 days for somebody that's ready to buy right now, and then, you know, over the 90 or 180 days start seeing a lot more leads from the process. What are you seeing in terms of that time frame with some of the clients and markets you work in?
It really depends, but we take – here's the thing. Here's the problem people have. The 14, 21 days, I'm not exactly sure what you're referencing. It's probably something I said one day and I don't remember it. But can you get some quick wins using LinkedIn? Sure. Everybody wants the quick wins, though. And that's why most people don't have the right outlook to stick with it for the long haul. I mean, and that's the greatest opportunity that exists out there, is for people that are willing to do the work every single day and show up every single day. And, you know, the biggest value of what we do is that we're willing to do our agency. The reason so many companies around the world hire us is because we do for them what they're not willing to do for themselves. Nobody wants to do the heavy lifting. You know, nobody [S2] Yeah. [S1] Wants to do the work. And we take a relationship-focused approach where we'd rather take more time to really build a long-term relationship that's going to be meaningful and valuable than to sour that potential possibility by going in for the kill way too quickly and just always churning prospects, going for quick wins. And so oftentimes we will advise our clients not to even ask for a phone call for a couple months after connecting with a prospect. And it all depends, but as a general rule of thumb, like, that's pretty common. You know, if you were to look at every campaign we're running for clients right now, you would see that, you know, it's fairly common that we won't even ask to line up a call or invite them to a consultation or a strategy session or whatever you want to call it, sometimes for a couple months. And that's why we tell folks that join our training programs, like, you need to be invested in a long-term approach, and that, you know, anything that you're going to implement is going to take a little bit of time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not even if you want to use Facebook ads, you're not just going to turn on Facebook ads that, you know, on day one, you're trying something new and it's just going to rain on you. It's just, you know, it takes time. There's testing and you know, optimizing and such, right?
Might rain on you, but not rain money.
Yeah. And it just, you know, marketing initiatives take a little bit of time to get rolling. And people sometimes forget that. They think there's like some magic bullet, you know, thing out there where they're just going to go hire some company and throw some money at it, and then 2 weeks later, they're just going to be flooded with amazing opportunities. And like, that stuff just, you know, is seldom happens that way, is our experience. And, you know, especially when you're going after a very special, specific type of person, you know, when you're trying to not just get to like any Tom, Dick, and Harry, but you're trying to get to, you know, the kinds of clients that can be game changing for your business, you know, the C-level executives that are really holding bigger budgets, you know, the kinds of clients, like one of our clients, Cohen, did, they've signed nearly $30 million in revenue from one client. You know, that's the kind of stuff that LinkedIn has the potential to deliver for a business. And you treat those kinds of prospects, you know, the right way, you know.
Yeah.
You you want to play the long game when it comes to the you know, possibly generating your biggest clients ever.
For sure. And not to take us on an aside, but a quick, there's some thought around there. Do you work with clients that are only decision makers in a business setting, or do you have some clients that also do consumer products?
Well, it depends really on the business. Certainly for anybody that's B2B, selling something that's relatively high-end, high-ticket, high-price, totally makes sense. On the consumer side, there are some businesses that we've done well with. You know, a financial advisor can do some good things on LinkedIn and see some successes. Insurance agents can have success on LinkedIn. Yeah. Professional services, of course. Now, even in like a MLM business, I mean, we have some clients that are running, you know, good sized MLM businesses, but they're not going to use it to try and sell some makeup to somebody. They're going to use it to build their downline, right? And attract other people into their network. And it's on the same token, if you will, the, you know, financial advisors, the insurance agents, the real estate agents, people of like that also, you know, they sometimes don't use LinkedIn to just go after direct prospects because LinkedIn's not, if you have a, let's say you have a, somebody that sells homeowners insurance and auto insurance, like personal insurance, it's just not going to really work to go on LinkedIn and just start pitching people on buying insurance. That's a relationship-based thing, and it's the kind of thing that is it's timing, right? You have to be in front of somebody. You have to be in their space, face, and place at the right time when they're in that life moment where they need to buy a new house and get homeowners or whatever it is. And so for people like that, the best bet on LinkedIn is really going to be to connect with referral partners. You know, so you use it almost as like a BNI, right? If you an insurance agent can do so well going to BNI and building referral relationships with centers of influence who are in a position to send them business over and over again, and you can use LinkedIn that same exact way. So instead of going on LinkedIn and trying to harass a few hundred people about buying insurance from you, connect with a few hundred people that could be really strong centers of influence in your area. And then build a relationship with those people so that when something crosses their plate, you're the one they think of.
No LinkedIn harassment. Check. That's going to be in the HR departments now. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your five-step booked method to systematically create these long-term sustainable relationships that are mutually beneficial. So tell me a little bit about that and how your company shares that, teaches that, and uses it.
Yeah, sure, man. Well, I'll tell you that the best thing anybody can do to get all the details on this system that I'm about to give you an overview of is just to go to my LinkedIn profile or our website, and you'll be able to get a copy of the book for free, a digital copy. Or you can go on Amazon and buy it. But if you go to thebookedbook.com, then you can download a copy for free there. But it really is just the culmination of the process I started implementing for those clients back in 2011. And of course, over the last few years, we've really dialed it in and refined it. But like you said, there's five components to it. And this stuff is going to apply to anybody, no matter, you know, if you want to implement all of it as a system or if you want to take it piecemeal. All right. So let me just dive into it. The first, you know, phase, if you will, is what we call the foundation. And there's a few different steps there, but it's basically about making sure that you're set up properly so that you put the best foot forward when you start going out and reaching out to prospects. So the very first thing we do with people is what we call a prospect profile. And the prospect profile is simply a cheat sheet that we help them develop that is a really detailed picture of who they're trying to do business with. You know, it's their avatar, their ideal client.
All right.
And that really is going to be their guide for who they're going to be trying to reach. And this process can be used on LinkedIn. It can be used on Facebook. It can be used anywhere your prospects can be reached. So when you talk about B2C or B2B, consumer-facing businesses, we have a lot of clients that take this same methodology and they apply it within Facebook. So it just depends on your business, though. And what that will lead them to is what we call the prospect map, second step of the foundation. The prospect map is a tool that we help people implement that is really just simply figuring out where their clients can be found. Where are they hanging out? Where can they best be reached? And it's usually going to be LinkedIn or Facebook. And then the third step is what we call value identifiers, and that is getting really clear on what makes your prospect tick. What do they care about? What kinds of things are they interested in? Because we take a somewhat counterintuitive approach to creating content. You and I were talking about this.
Yeah.
Most people want to talk about themselves all the time and what they do. They want to position themselves as a subject matter expert in their field. And that's great, and I think that you should do that. But if you talk about yourself constantly all the time, people eventually tune out. They'll only take so much of it. And you know, instead, what if you have a balanced approach where you're sharing a mix of resources and content targeted to the interests of your prospects while at the same time slipping in some stuff about what you do every once in a while? People are going to be much more interested in what you have to say when you take that kind of approach. And that's what we teach and that's what we do for our clients. And that is the step in the foundation called value identifiers. And it's just figuring out what do your prospects care about so that you then have a short list of different topics and kinds of things that really are the things that keep them up at night, the things right. They care about, the things that are meaningful in their business, so that you can go out and curate content around that. And that we don't recommend anybody, go create a bunch of content from scratch. Now, if you've already got content, or if you're, predisposed to, you like writing articles and such, that's great. You can absolutely do that, and there's some amazing ways to use that content in these campaigns. But a lot of people don't want to and are not good at it. And so instead, we teach them how to use curated content, sharing content that they just find on a websites that, your prospects would be inclined to read, and how to use that as part of a campaign within LinkedIn to really position yourself as a trusted resource.
That was step three, correct?
That is the third step of the first step, which is the foundation.
All right.
Yeah. Because now we're still just getting set up. That's basically research, figuring out what we're all about and what our prospects are all about, right? Then from there, we use all that data to do two things. And the second step of the booked system is what we call developing an authority leadership platform. And what this is, in more generic terms, is going to be a LinkedIn group or a Facebook group. And the group itself is not designed to generate leads. It's not designed to drive traffic. It is simply designed to position you as an authority and a leader in front of your prospects. So, for example, after going through the foundation with one of our clients' systems, they're a manufacturing company. I'm sorry, they're an IT company, but they serve a lot of IT companies. I'm sorry, I'm just like backwards here. They're an IT company. They serve a lot of manufacturing companies.
Gotcha. Right?
So we thought, what kind of a community would manufacturing companies be most interested in? Sorry if you hear those sirens. I'm in New York today.
I hear those. So, yeah, we had a little bit of like a vortex of an IT company serving company. Now we got sirens. So we got all the stuff working today. So
It'll go away eventually if we don't just move forward, in New York. And it's just, it might never stop. But
so IT companies serving manufacturing companies.
Yeah. And so they came to us wanting to create a LinkedIn group all about IT, thinking we'll invite these manufacturing companies into this group about IT, and they'll learn so much, and they'll think that we're the best, and they'll see that we're the experts, and we'll be the ones they call. Problem is, no CEO or CFO of a manufacturing company wants to join that group. The only people that's going to attract are your competitors, right? So instead, what we did was we helped them create a community called Midwest Manufacturing Leaders, which now has 6,000 or 7,000 members. I'm not sure what it is, but very targeted prospects that are the ideal fit for what our who our clients trying to get in front of. It's generated just a tremendous amount of business for them over the last, I think they've been a client for 3 years now.
Nice.
But that in a nutshell is the play, to create a community like that. And what happens is that when you create a community like that, that's for your prospects, they stay tuned in for so long. Not only do they stay tuned in, so they're seeing your name over and over again for years, but they're even open to you reaching out to them in the first place, because now Tom is the founder of Midwest Manufacturing Leaders and he's the president of SWIP Systems. And he's not just another IT guy trying to connect with CEOs to try and pitch them on their services. And people have their guard up these days. So having that kind of positioning when you're reaching out to your prospects is something that works really well and can be tremendously effective. And so that's the authority leadership platform, which is the second phase of the system. And once that's in place, then we do what's called a database build, which is using the prospect profile to go out and find the very best prospects that are the ideal fit for who our clients are, and then reaching out with a personalized message to lots of them. So we'll send, you know, we'll do 100 to 200, you know, manual outreaches a day for some period of time. And then really over the course of just a couple weeks, we'll have sent a couple thousand connection requests. And because of the way that we position it, the way that we do it, we get a pretty high response rate, pretty high acceptance rate to those connection requests. And then all of a sudden our clients have this really, really big database of prospects that we can start nurturing and working through our messaging processes. And that brings me to the fourth phase of the book system, which is messaging campaigns. So we've developed a process for really nurturing people over, you know, like I said earlier, sometimes a couple months through personalized one-on-one messages utilizing LinkedIn that really just serve a couple purposes. Position you as someone they can know, like, and trust, like I've said a bunch of times already. Get them thinking about what you do by getting them thinking about problems that they might be dealing with in their business, and positioning you as a resource for them. And so that by the time you reach out to see if they'd be open to a conversation, you know, we typically see anywhere from 20 to 30% of people that we're reaching out to agree to that phone call. And the numbers vary from, you know, all over the place. But what ends up happening is that we're able to cherry pick the most high value potential clients that our clients want to do business with. And within a couple months, we're able to get them on the phone with them, people that otherwise wouldn't have given them the time of day before. And it's not a cold call at that point, because we've positioned our client in such a way over this period of time where we've just delivered so much value. It's really almost a peer-to-peer relationship at this point. It doesn't feel like a sales call. They feel like they already know you because you've been staying in their you know, space, place, and face for so long that by the time you get on the phone, it's just really, really a natural conversation. But from there, the fifth step of the book system is that we know that if only 25% of the folks that we invite to a conversation end up agreeing to it, which, by the way, is extremely high.
Yeah, because you probably couldn't get to some of these decision makers through any other means. Like you said, no. You had trouble through BNI, local networking. So this is almost an exclusive, one of the few, maybe two or three, and somehow you could get referred to them with their personal cell phone or something like that.
Yeah.
Where you have access, fairly easy, exclusive access, if you know how to unlock the ability to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you send a cold message to somebody like that, if you just reach out to them on LinkedIn and try and pitch them on a phone call and they don't know who you are, you're going to have almost nobody say yes.
Yeah. Or a cold email, or try to get through the gatekeeper or the secretary or executive assistant or whoever.
You need massive numbers to make that kind of thing work. But, you know, using this process, typically, you know, we're able to generate 10, 12, 15 appointments a month for our clients with very, very high value prospects. But we've always got that set of people that don't respond through LinkedIn. And so we don't want to just throw those people away. So we do a couple things. One, we'll put them into a more long-term sequence to continue staying in front of them over time. Just making a little touch every once in a while so that they don't forget about us. And then we'll also, we'll in some cases, take them off of LinkedIn and start an email nurture process where we send personalized one-on-one emails as a follow-up to the LinkedIn campaign. And just by doing that, just by taking it out of LinkedIn and sending it via email, you'll pick up an extra 10 or 20% of appointments just by getting them through another channel. Because some people just respond better in other places. Because, I mean, not everyone's sitting on LinkedIn all day.
Right, for sure. So, okay, that gives us a nice overview of the five steps of the process. And one piece you talked about was the establishing and having that intention of being an authority and a leader as that position. Hey, we're ahead of the pack. We're one of the top companies, maybe the top company. And you talked briefly about content and curating and a couple of those terms. So Sure. You and I mentioned there was a counterintuitive approach you guys have to content that you work with clients. Tell me a little bit about how that works.
Yeah, well, there's a couple things. You know, the biggest thing that's counterintuitive about it is what I shared earlier, that the most people want to create content about their subject matter expertise. But when you have a really defined prospect profile that you're working for, you know, this specific type of person or this specific type of company, and you start creating content that caters to what they actually care about, they're just so much more likely to engage with it. And that is the one thing that is counterintuitive and requires us to sometimes, you know, do some education and require some of our clients to just take a leap of faith in us that works well. Because for a lot of companies, what they do is just not going to be of interest to their prospect. I mean, you know, what's a good example is, you know, and the IT company is a perfect example. If they start putting together content all about network maintenance and ERP systems, I mean, maybe there's some CTOs that would be interested in it, but it's got to be pretty high level for those people to care. But they're trying to get in front of CFOs and CEOs. Those guys don't want to read that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So instead, if you put together content that is, it could be curated from other sources, or you can sponsor and produce content of your own. You don't have to be the expert. You can go outsource it.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you co-brand or interview or some of these type of ideas.
Yeah, and interviewing is the easiest way to do it. Because and it's a great way to get in the door with people too. It's a strategy that we use for some of our clients in the right situations. Is that we will instead of just going for a phone call, we'll actually ask them for input on something. We'll say something like, "Hey, I'm putting together an article featuring some of the top people in the manufacturing space, some of the top CEOs in the manufacturing industry in the Midwest, and I'd love to get your input on a few questions if you'd be interested. The article's going to come out in about a month, and just a few questions, you know, just kind of about your outlook for the industry and kind of where you see things headed for you guys in next year." You know, you got to have you got to come up with the right spin for it. But those guys aren't getting asked to be featured in articles that often. And then they produce they're giving you the content. You just have to have somebody make it look pretty. And then even if you don't even have a blog, you can do this because you can just publish it on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, an interview series like that can be great for so many things, because then you can turn around, you can share that content with the other executives that are in your messaging campaign and that you're working through LinkedIn. And then you get a handful of these interviews together and people start to see you as a really connected person in the space. And they just look at you totally differently, and it opens a lot of doors.
And in target groups. And I think this is maybe not counterintuitive, but some people ask, well, how do we get started? How do we be a resource? Because if you're an IT company and you're talking to CEOs and CFOs, they may not think, okay, why is an IT company talking about, you know, five-step marketing strategy? Or why are they talking about three operational procedures to increase my manufacturing effectiveness by 27%? You know, because they're not the experts. That's why the interview is so powerful, because you can bring those resources that – on topics CEOs and CFOs care about without having to position yourself as hey, we're an IT company, but we're also good at this and we're also good at that, which doesn't have a congruency there.
Yeah. Yeah, it works. I'll just say that. A lot of people just for some reason or another don't want to do it though. And it's the opportunity is wide open. Yeah. Any industry you think of, it's wide open for you. If you're listening to this right now and the light bulb just went off, like just go out and do it. It'll work.
Well, like you said, you can open doors to executives you'd want to reach, and it's still that blue ocean strategy, to borrow that title from the book that came out a few years ago.
Yeah.
On the topic of either unconventional or counterintuitive, we talked a little bit about messaging and the problems of BNI and networking. So what is one of those unconventional or counterintuitive messaging strategies you use to reach those super hard to reach prospects that somebody might have difficulty reaching?
Yeah, well, the biggest thing about it, aside from like unconventional or, you know, unique types of messaging strategies, the biggest thing about it is just being persistent and following up with people and staying in front of them consistently. And like I said earlier, I mean, that right there is the reason that our company exists, because we're doing the work that our clients are just not doing right now for whatever reason. It's just not getting done. And I mean, so when it comes to messaging, you know, coming up with something clever is really not the most important thing. The most important thing is consistency and showing up day after day. And when you've got hundreds or thousands of really, really valuable prospects that you're working through consistent messaging and you're staying in front of them and you're making touches, you're going to get results from it. And, you know, there's some studies have been done that have shown at what stage in you know, how many touch points it takes to turn a prospect into a client. And, you know, there's different numbers have been reported. Some people say it's 7, some say 12, some say 25. But most people stop after 2 or 3, if that. A lot of people, it's just 1. And so the real key to getting results is that consistency, is that follow-up.
Yeah. I've seen that number, 88% of salespeople, 3 messages or less. So
yeah, exactly.
By just going to message 4, you can be in the top 12%.
And yeah.
Whether the number's a little bit higher, a little bit lower, the vast majority of salespeople that are in maybe your ocean or small pond of competitors are at that 3 or less level. So the hurdle to be in that top performer list is not that high.
Right. Well, and the, you know, another stat that is really interesting is that I saw, I like to talk about, is that only 3% of your target market is in a buying mode right now. And the other people, and there's some different tiers then that go from there. Let me actually look up these stats, because I actually have it in front of me so I can quote it more accurately. Here it is. 3% of your market ready to purchase right now. So what about the other 97%, right? Well, you've got 7% that are open to buying, but they're not currently looking. Got another 30% not thinking about it. They're indifferent. 30% think they aren't interested, and 30% know they aren't interested. So you have these different types of people that are at different phases of the buying cycle in your market, and only 3% are ready to purchase now. The other ones, you're going to need to stay in front of them for a little bit longer to try and move them into that 3% zone. Most people aren't doing that. Most people's marketing is only aimed at the 3%, and they're giving up 97% of their target market because all their stuff is focused on people who want to buy now. But when you have a system to stay in front of people consistently, not just for a couple weeks, but for months or years, you're going to get to a much, much bigger share of your market by doing that. And none of your competitors are doing it because most people won't put in the work to do it.
Yeah, yeah. You're absolutely right. And so as we get into the final couple of points here, I think I know what one of these is going to be, but what are you seeing as the 3 biggest mistakes people make, either do or don't do on LinkedIn, that harms their potential to get clients?
Yep. Okay. So I'm guessing that your guess was going to be that I would say consistency.
Telepathic. Yeah. Right.
Because we've talked about that a couple times.
Yep.
So you're absolutely right on that. I won't beat that horse any more dead than it already is. I think I've talked about that a lot, but that is a huge mistake people make, thinking that they're going to just jump on LinkedIn and they're going to send some messages out and get some clients in right away. And that they, you know, a week later, they're wondering whether or not this is really going to work for them. People have such a short-term mindset. And in Japan, I love this story. A friend of mine was telling me he does business in Japan. And he was saying that people over there make decisions based on 5 to 10 year ROI. Because they are thinking about building businesses in a much different way than we are. People in the U.S. and in, you know, Western society seem to have a much more short-term mentality. Over there, I mean, there's businesses that have been around for 400 years. Their cultures are just that old, and they think about the long game, you know. And so I think that, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that make the mistake of thinking that these tools are going to solve all their problems, and then a week later they're saying, well, this just doesn't work. And it's, well, you have to stick with it. You have to be consistent. You have to be showing up. So that's one thing. The second thing is just bad positioning. And this is a basic that can help anybody, even if you don't want to do the work and, you know, stay in front of people and execute everything I've talked about today. Just go and make sure that your profile is positioned so that when a potential prospect is checking out your profile, that it actually, you know, says something meaningful to them. And it doesn't just say, you know, founder of whatever your company name is, which may or may not mean anything to them. You know, we always tell people trying it some sort of a benefit statement in your headline to get that prospect thinking, oh, I wonder how they do that. And then when they move down to your summary section, look at your profile on LinkedIn as a lead generation tool. Look at it as a landing page. When somebody visits your profile, what is the one thing you want them to do? What's the next step you want them to take? It could be as simple as connecting with you. So then make sure in your summary section that you guide people to your summary using a compelling headline, and then in your summary section, have a call to action that invites them to connect with you. It could be that you're primary goal is to get people to opt in for a lead magnet or a ebook or something like that, right? So on my profile, I use my headline to do that. If you go look at my headline, you'll see that there is a little call to action that says go to thebookedbook.com to get a free copy of my best-selling book, Booked. So my goal is for somebody to look at my LinkedIn profile and then go to that website to get a copy of my book. So that's a big thing. And I would say, let me think of a third one real quick. What's a third mistake people make on LinkedIn? Boy, I crammed a lot into that first one. I should have saved something.
Right.
But you know, I think that one thing that people miss out on LinkedIn is the ability for it to be a really great referral tool. And I say that, I mean that in a couple ways. One is that you don't always have to think about LinkedIn as connecting with direct clients. Oftentimes a referral relationship can mean so much more over time when you work with someone that can just send you client after client after client. So think about not only connecting with direct prospects, but think about building relationships with potential strategic partners, referral partners, joint venture partners, and such. That's one thing. The other thing with referrals is that people, if we want to talk about like the BNI world and the old school networking and having coffees and lunches with people world,
right?
If you're doing that stuff, that can work. I'm not saying it didn't really work for me. There are some people in some types of businesses that it can work for. Obviously, BNI has like thousands of members and they've done some amazing things for people. If you're going to do that kind of stuff, if you're going to have coffees and lunches with people, do a little homework before you show up, and you can mine somebody's connections on LinkedIn to see, hey, I'm going to have lunch with Clint tomorrow. before I go to that lunch, I'm going to go look at his LinkedIn connections and see if there's maybe a few people on there that would be good introductions for him to make for me. And then I'm not going to the meeting with you. This is one of my biggest pet peeves. When I have a meeting with somebody and they say, you know, it gets to that point of the meeting where they want to, you know, well, what kind of people are you interested in meeting? And they, oh, well, you know, if they, you know, any small business owners, and it's like it's some vague general answer, and you're just like, I can't think of anybody to introduce you to. But if they would have come to me with a specific list of two or three people that they would be interested in an introduction to, it makes it super easy on me. So that's another little tactic that I think could probably help some people.
Outstanding. And that brings to mind, I think, what would be good on this final point, because we have mentioned strategic allies and referral sources. So what is one bigger tip, a supercharger, if you will, to engage better with potential referral sources and strategic allies on LinkedIn that's worked very well for you and in campaigns you've done with your clients?
Well, the biggest thing with referral partners and strategic partners is to give before you make an ask, no matter what, where you're doing it or what platform you're using it for. You know, it is to show up with a plan for how you're going to give first, because when you are the one that makes the first give, it's just natural that people want to reciprocate. We have a very strong network of strategic partners that we refer business to them. They refer business to us. Been responsible for multiple seven figures of sales this year. It's just a huge focus of ours as a company. So I'm obviously a big believer in it. A lot of those relationships came from me giving first, not showing up and knocking on someone's door and telling them about how awesome we are and how they should send us business. And, you know, hey, I'll pay you this percentage if you do, or any of that stuff. You get referral fees or, you know, programs like that or anything. But it was first showing up and giving business to them, and helping them. It doesn't always have to be showing up and giving them business. There's all sorts of strategic ways that you can help somebody out. It could be making introductions for them. It could be all sorts of things. Yeah. So I would say that in terms of referrals and strategic partners, that's the biggest thing anybody can do, whether it's using LinkedIn or any other tool.
And do you often recommend, hey, you've got the five-phase book method for going after direct client prospects?
Sure.
Do you recommend the same five-phase for strategic ally in certain categories? Like maybe business lawyer is a good referral source for you. So a five-phase for them, sure. And maybe CPA is a good referral source. So five-phase mm-hmm. directed geared toward that.
I do, yes, I do recommend it. There are some situations where you can shortcut that process when you're not trying to sell to somebody. When you go into it with a message that is a bit more, you know, hey, I think that there's some opportunities for us to maybe refer some business to each other. And I'd like to, you know, I'd love to jump on a call and learn more about what you're up to and see what kind of clients might make sense for you. I've got some ideas maybe, but I just want to, you know, I think it'd be great for us to talk first about it. Like you can shortcut the process a little bit when you're approaching somebody in that manner. But even still, there are people that will even have their guard up about that, because if you're an insurance agent reaching out to an estate planning attorney, you know, the person's still going to be kind of reserved. You really still need to kind of build the relationship and put in a little bit of foundation first before you go for the ask, because the chances are they have some people that already, you know, do what you do in their back pocket, maybe more than one. And so it's still, no matter what you're doing, building the relationship and positioning yourself as a trusted resource, someone they know, like, and trust, and as an authority and a leader and an expert in your market, that's how you get people to say yes.
Gotcha. And as we wrap this session here, Josh, how does each person watching find out a little bit more about you and take a deeper dive if they want to do that?
You can look me up on LinkedIn and connect with me there. Just tell me send me a little message that says Clint sent you, so I know where you're coming from, and that would be great. Or you can go to linkedselling.com and learn more about what we're up to, always happy to chat with anybody. Feel free to email me, joshturner@linkedselling.com.
Yeah, and he's Josh or Joshua B. Turner on LinkedIn.
Josh B. Turner.
Okay, right, because there are a few others. Not a super common name, but...
Shouldn't be hard to find me.
Use that little initial to help find it. And that's a technique we'll talk about a little more in one of the sessions on your zeroing up in LinkedIn search and on Google. So thanks for all the fantastic information, that process. Josh, it's great having you on the session here today.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you for having me, Clint. I really appreciate it.
Well, that's a wrap. We'll see you on the next session.